Today on the podcast, I am chatting with homeopath Melissa Kupsch, and we're going to be talking about common childhood ailments and which remedies you can go to if you have a first aid kit or if you have the remedies at home. This is such an important topic and conversation, I feel, because I personally have a lot of patients that get very anxious when their child is sick, and this episode is going to give you some tools to be able to go and get a remedy out of your cupboard and treat your child at home. Homeopathic medicines work so quickly when you get the right remedy, and the key is to just really understanding the symptoms of your child. I was introduced to homeopathic medicine at 17 when I first started in my degrees. So I was turning 18 that year. It was a very, fresh time for me. I was young, I didn't have much world knowledge, and homeopathic medicines did not click with me until a couple years into working, and I worked alongside some practitioners here on the Gold Coast. And then I was employed to go work in Bangkok alongside some amazing British homeopaths from Sydney, Australia. And then alongside that, got to work with some really, amazing homeopaths that have written textbooks from India. So Dr. Rajan Sankaran, who's the author of The Sensation Method, and his amazing homeopath, Dr. Sudhir Baldota, who I'm going to have on the podcast one day. So I have seen how homeopathic medicine can work so quickly for such severe and chronic conditions that I am such a fan of it. But the best thing I've found is for treating children, especially with acutes, because unlike Chinese medicine, although it works so good, if you can't get a child to take a couple of doses of the herbal medicine, which can be very hard because they don't taste great and you do need to give certain doses to really have effect of the medicine, then it might not work. Acupuncture can be good, but it might not be accessible when someone's having a fever at night on a Saturday. And same for naturopathic medicine, it doesn't quite go into the particular symptoms. So homeopathic medicine is so good for children. So let's dive in and talk childhood ailments using homeopathic remedies with Melissa. A space for conversation around women's health through the lens of naturopathic and Eastern medicine. I am Sandy Ross, and this is Her Earth Medicine Podcast. This podcast is multi-leveled. Episodes for patient education to graduate practitioner level. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you gain value from this episode. Welcome to the Her Earth Medicine Podcast, Melissa Kupsch.
Hey guys, how you going?
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy clinic this morning, Mel, to come on and talk about homeopathy for common childhood ailments. I'm so excited to chat this topic with you.
For sure, me too. Thank you for having me.
It's definitely going to be, I think, a good podcast for parents to tune into. It's just obviously as practitioners, we get a lot of questions about some of the things we're going to cover today. So I feel like this is going to be a really good episode just for parents to tune into so they know when there's an acute case with their child, they can just go to their homeopathic kit and try a remedy. It's so simple once you have this information. So yeah, we're going to be chatting homeopathics for acutes. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became a homeopath?
Sure. Okay. So I had actually never heard of homeopathy before. I was studying to be a naturopath, and I was 2 years in. My sister has had chronic health conditions. So she was in hospital, just constantly growing up. And it sort of got to the point, she couldn't even work anymore. So she's about 20 years old, just going in and out of hospital. Our dad is a doctor. He had done all of the conventional things that he could. We had like the best specialists in Queensland looking after her. No luck. We did all the naturopathics, Chinese medicine, anything that we could at the time, and she wasn't getting any relief. And then it was, one of my lecturers for naturopathics said, you should try homeopathy. And he wanted me to switch degrees. I wasn't really interested because I didn't know anything about it. And I said, well, if you cure my sister, I'll change my degree then. And, he met her. They did one consult. And as soon as she started taking her homeopathics, improvement just was so quick. She wasn't in hospital again for that same issue. And yeah, I was just completely shocked. I didn't understand how it could work, but because I'd seen it work, then I had to really research deeply before I switched over. And yeah, now it's just my absolute, yeah, passion and love. And now doing it with other families and seeing the results that they get, it's just, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so, and I think it is one of those things that you just, when you see it work, you're just like, wow, because I was the same. I actually started studying, I was 17, turning 18, my first year of university when I was studying naturopathy, and homeopathics was one of my first subjects, and I just couldn't get it. I think I even failed that subject. It was the only subject I ever failed, but I couldn't fathom how it worked. And then I got to work alongside some practitioners where I seen it work for extremely chronic cases. And one dose of one remedy like that, and their conditions just got so much better. So maybe you can take us back a little bit and explain a little bit about what homeopathic medicine is, how it's made a little bit. Just kind of give a summary to those who've never heard of it, or maybe you've heard of it but don't understand it.
Sure. So at the base, it's an energetic system of medicine. So what I sort of explain to people, in the same way that we know acupuncture is stimulating, you know, the energetic fields around the body using the needles, homeopathics is just a different version, but you're ingesting it. And in that, we all have a vital force. You know, we can call it different things in, you know, different modalities, but we have a vital force that keeps like our body, our mind and our spirit strong. And when, you know, we're pushed out of alignment in any one of these areas, that's where disease or illness can sort of pop up. So if someone goes through a period of extreme stress, it's not unusual, of course, to see physical manifestations. So a homeopath is going to look at you as a whole being, and we're going to look at your whole vital force and the pattern of your body. And what plays into that, you know, we've got your genetic inheritance, we've got just your natural susceptibilities, these sorts of things. And what we find is when we give you a homeopathic remedy, which is a potentized energetic material made in a pharmacy. So they come from natural sources, but it is an energetic medicine. And when we stimulate your vital force with that medicine, what we're doing is giving your vital force a trigger to make it respond to that. And when your body and your vital force is triggered and responds, that's when it can recalibrate and get you back into alignment. So that's when your physical symptoms are disappearing, your mental symptoms are disappearing, and that's when you're strengthened. So yeah, that's sort of how we do it. And we work in a manner of, yeah, that like cures like. So I'm going to take your whole case, I'm going to look at all your symptoms, and I'm going to stimulate your body with an energetic substance that matches that. Because when your body comes back to fight that energetic field, that's when the symptoms disappear.
Okay, cool. I love when I talk to homeopaths, the word vital force always comes up.
For sure. And what would you call it in all your modalities?
Well, I guess, yeah, qi in Chinese medicine. Vitality, I guess, as well in naturopathic medicine. But the word vital force, it's definitely in the homeopathic world. The like cures like, I think that's really important for people to kind of understand, like, you know, the remedy Apis, for example, coming from, is it from a bee? And then it treats things like bee stings and whatnot, just to get people their head around the remedies and how they work a little bit. How about the actual remedies? Like, what are you giving to people? How do they take it? That sort of thing, before we dive into the remedies themselves with conditions.
Sure. So it comes in the little amber vials. So they're not actually herbs as such. They're potentized in the pharmacies, mixed with a little bit of alcohol to preserve it. When people take it, they're going to bang the bottle against the palm of their hand, and it's just 2 to 3 drops under the tongue. Some people would be familiar with taking homeopathics as the little white balls. They're effective as well. Practitioners just sort of tend to go one way or another. In Australia, a lot of us use liquid dosing. Overseas, a lot more people use pillules. So, yeah, much of muchness, but very easy to dose, and they don't taste bad. Herbs, obviously, very effective, but for children, it can be very difficult to get them to take them, whereas the homeopathics, I know my kids come, you know, running when they see a bottle there. They're really happy to take them. It's a bit fun. So
yeah,
especially, you know, for newborns and all of that, where you can't give a newborn baby herbs or supplements, so homeopathics really fills that void?
Absolutely. That's definitely where I use it the most. And my kids definitely come running when they see me shaking the little bottle. They're like, oh, the sugar pills are out. Okay. So let's jump in and start talking about some common conditions for kids. So shall we start with common colds? What are some of the remedies that are go-to for when a kid gets a common cold?
Yeah. Okay, so common colds. So in my kit, I give the four remedies. So we've got Allium Sepa. So this one you're looking at, you know, symptoms like hay fever. You've got like a profuse, clear, acrid nasal discharge. The nose can be dripping. It can have that burning, you know, sometimes you see with kids and you've got the real red under the nose because the mucus is sort of a bit excoriating, you know, maybe above their lips a bit red. You can have watery eyes, a lot of sneezing. So that's, you know, just your typical onset of a very simple cold. You'd be giving Allium Sepa. Then Arsenicum Album. Again, very similar but slightly different. More sort of burning pains in the nose, burning in the eyes, the throat. People often feel better with hot drinks, so they'll be sipping, you know, little bits of, you know, hot tea or something that'll make their throat a bit better. You can have a dry mouth, and often there's a real weakness and tired and a bit restless with Arsenicum Album. And then, you know, your Heparsulf cases, this is more a bit of a later stage cold, where you've got more the thicker yellow, greeny mucus coming out, you know, a bit more signs of infection. The cough can be rattly because that's, you know, the mucus in the chest. And, you know, you might even be coughing up some of that discharge and it's really going to be a yellow, green colour. And then, you know, more your croupy coughs, that's your Heparsulf. And you can have, you know, sometimes you get that real splinter-like sensation in the throat. That's the Heparsulf.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last one we go is more your euphrasia. You know, eyes inflamed, really irritated. You know, when you can have, you've got that cold in your eyes, you just are, you know, really sensitive to the light, all of that sort of stuff. Dry eyes, photophobic, constant blinking. But this one, you know, the discharge is going to be more bland. So it's not so much, you know, you're burning mucus, more just like you've just got a runny nose, really.
Okay.
So that's sort of our different ones for colds.
Okay, cool. That's great. I mean, that information is just so good because that's the difference between liquid herbs, for example, as a naturopath trying to give, you know, if we give something for a cold, everyone gives, you know, echinacea and the common ones that we work with the immune system. But I personally find they just don't work. They're great for supporting immune health, but they just don't get to the detail. Like, number one, Chinese herbs can 100%, they can get to those details, but giving a little one Chinese herbs is very hard. So, you know, those details, dry eyes or sore throat, like those fine details are so important. Do you use now I might say it wrong, Oscillolinum.
Oh, so that's the French one. So in France, I call it Oscillolinum,
okay.
But I'm sure everyone pronounces homeopathic remedies different around the world. So yeah, in France, homeopathic medicine is very well known. So I think they're up to maybe 95% of medical doctors in France will use homeopathics, and that's because their number one cold and flu remedy is homeopathic. And to be a homeopath in France, you actually have to be a medical doctor first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's very, very established over there. So I do sometimes, but generally, yeah, I just keep to like the post-it one. Yeah. And with the colds and with these first aid remedies, because we're wanting to like stimulate, you know, the vital force and heal really quickly with the homeopathics, you can add them to a bottle of water where the kids can just sip them all day. So they're getting little doses all day. So for parents, this is just really the easiest system of medicine and the safest to sort of, yeah, really constantly be helping that immune system tap along and heal quicker.
Yes, totally. I 100% agree. Okay, could we please, now I feel like this one we need a little bit more detail too because it can go, there's a lot of symptoms that can come into it. Coughs. There's many types of coughs and I know that it works if you can get the right remedy, but it won't work unless you can find that right remedy. So let's maybe start with a dry cough. So I know like a lot in the textbooks you might say dry at night and wet during the day. But sometimes they're just generally dry. So could we start with maybe a dry cough? What can we use there?
So your bryonia is the one in our kit that we'd be looking for with that sort of, dry cough. What you'll find, you know how sometimes you like really hold your chest to cough?
Yeah.
And you're sort of like bracing yourself? That's very much a bryonia picture. So typically with bryonia, you've got the cough is developing slowly. It's dry and it's like a hard cough. The patient often desires to be left alone and they don't want to be moved. So when you're looking at your kids, it's sort of like just trying to see what their overall picture is, what's their behaviour like. If they're outside running around, you know, and all of this, you might be looking at another remedy, but your typical bryonia is really just like a little bit wants to isolate themselves. You know, I'm coughing, I want to lay down, I don't want to be moved. So you're looking at all of that. Then with your other sorts of coughs, more with the phlegm in the throat, like a bit wetter,
yep,
you're moving towards pulsatilla. So pulsatilla as a remedy, parents can often remember it. It's really like Hepar Sulf. It's the yellow phlegm, yellow discharge. Worse in the morning on waking, often a dry cough at night with your pulsatilla. And when the kids have got, when they're in this sort of a pulsatilla state, they're often like a bit clingy and
yes,
they might want to sit with you. They want you to, you know, lie down and, oh, mummy, tickle me, please. You know, I don't feel well. This sort of picture. But really the keynote of your pulsatilla is the yellow snot, yellow mucus. That's where you're looking at more your pulsatilla. And then sort of the next stage from that, do you know what I mean, where the infection is really even a little bit more progressed and it's sort of like that greeny, really dark, that's where you're looking at your Hepar Sulf. So, again, loose cough, noisy, barky cough, yellow-green mucus, can definitely, get that splinter-like feeling in the throat. And they're often better from moist, warm air. So if you have a humidifier, at home, much better for that in trying to get that phlegm up and out. So that's our main cough remedies that we'd be looking at.
What about a creepy cough? Is it spongier you'd go for that one?
Definitely spongier. So they do, you can get like little complexes of remedies for the coughs. Sometimes in the health food store, it can be good with these kits. I would just encourage parents to make their own little ones. And this is another point. If the symptoms are a bit vague and you're not actually exactly sure what remedy you want to give, you can mix, you know, two or three together. And in an acute situation, they can be really effective.
Mm.
So, you know, with like long-term classical dosing of homeopathy, you wouldn't be leaning towards, you know, sort of mixing them together. But for an acute situation where we just want to get through it, you know, 3 or 4 days, adding in those remedies to the water together and dosing like that can be really effective.
Yeah, okay.
All the cough remedies, you just put them in.
Okay. What about like a hacking cough?
Hacking, probably still now moving more towards your bryonia and the real dryness.
Okay.
Of that, yeah. They're the ones in our kit. You can go more towards other ones like Drosera. And that sort of thing.
Is that when they they cough so much that they can vomit? Is that Dross?
I think there's a couple of them.
Yeah, okay.
I think it is, in some of those.
I think I've used it with my son. Coughs are a big pain in the ass for parents at night, aren't they, really? Because if you've got a child that's coughing all night, it's nothing worse because they're awake, you're awake. And, you know, no matter what you try and do, humidifier on and stuff, until you can, like, really get the remedy right. Yeah, so.
And some of these coughs, you know, like with kids and the daycare infections and all that, some of these coughs can linger on for months. It's like, you know, what do you use? And I'm a pretty hands-off mum, even though, obviously, I've got a whole dispensary. I don't really dose them for anything. It's just sort of like when I can see that their body needs help to get over something. And certainly sometimes, it really does, especially if you're someone whose kids need to go to daycare, it's sort of like you want them to heal as quick as possible. So that they're fine to go.
Yeah, I'm the same. If my kids are sick, I really don't give them too much. I just give them rest and hydrate and good food. And, like, and I've got a whole toolkit I can use. But, yeah, and I feel like this is a really important message. And I've, like, the homeopaths I used to work with used to be like, oh, everyone's messaging with acutes. And this happens to me all the time with my, you know, patients when their kids are sick. They're like, oh, my kid's got a stomach ache, or my kid's got, you know, a common cold or a fever, or what can I do? What can I do? And there's a lot of panic. And I feel like, you know, the body has its own immune system to heal itself as long as we support that too. So we could either, number one, use a remedy for these acutes, which is great, or just also, like, when we're calm, it's going to also reflect on the child, just be there to support them. So definitely the option is use the remedies, but also rest and, you know, calm the nervous system too.
Yeah, and in that, just reminding yourself that to get sick is actually a completely healthy response to living in this world. Sometimes, you know, we sort of think, oh, if our kids get sick, well, there must be something wrong with the immune system. But no, to get sick is your immune system recalibrating, like rebalancing itself. If you've got a cough and you're coughing up all this deep phlegm, you know, you've probably got crap in your lungs that needs to come out. And so that's why with homeopathics, we want to encourage the body to do what it's already doing, as opposed to, we don't want to go to the pharmacy and get something that's going to wipe out your cough to the point of, you know, phlegm getting stuck in the chest. We want to help the body get that out. And the same goes, you know, if you've got diarrhea and you go straight to the pharmacy and you get something to clog yourself up, well, what was your body trying to get out with the diarrhea and the vomiting of the gastro? If you've got food poisoning, we want those toxins out. And so I find with homeopathics, they're just that perfect in between of supporting the body to do what it's already trying to do without really suppressing, the body.
Okay, well, thank you for breaking that down on cough smell. I feel like that's such good information, because coughs can be, like I said, one of those ones that really can interrupt sleep for, you know, many nights for parents and for the child. There's nothing worse than a tired child and their behaviour changes. So very good to be able to support that and obviously offer the rest and love that that child needs when sick is a big message to get across, rather than, you know, rushing to try every remedy, just also being there for your child if you know, obviously, if it's nothing too serious. So shall we move on to maybe a couple of remedies to support fevers?
Sure. So fevers is definitely one where parents sort of go into panic. You know, high alert of, yeah, what's going on. And I guess just having that knowledge that a fever in itself is that protective mechanism. But we do sometimes find, you know, that children are very uncomfortable in their fever. And if that is the case, in our kit, we do the three remedies that we sort of use most commonly. So belladonna. So this one we're looking at a sudden onset, a high fever, red face and hot skin. There can be throbbing pains. The head can feel hot. Sometimes with the belladonna fever, I'm not sure if many people have experienced this, but the kids can get a bit delirious, you know, a bit of imaginations, hallucinations sometimes. And occasionally you'll see convulsions during the fever. So that's your belladonna state. Aconite, similar, but aconite is one of our remedies that we use really. It's the onset of illness. If as soon as you start getting sick, and if you start getting sick with anything and you're trying to ward it off, aconite is sort of what most homeopaths would go towards. It's just you get in quick. So your rapid onset, often during the night. It can be after exposure to cold, dry, windy weather. You know how some people just know when they're exposed to those conditions, that's when, you know, the fever is going to come on. And you can see a restlessness and an anxious state with the aconite. And then the last one, a lot of children can have sort of prolonged teething fevers. You know, just as those teeth are trying to crack through, the kids are getting those fevers. Chamomilla in that state. So chamomilla is our biggest teething remedy, sort of for anything to do with the fever, the teething itself. So you might have one cheek red in a chamomilla state and the other one pale. The kids can often be really irritable and cranky. So, you know, that typical teething sort of behaviour. Clingy, they want to be held, but they also really know what they want. They're irritable. They might, like, ask for a toy, then they're throwing the toy, and they're just sort of like they can't be soothed in that time. That's the sort of fevers with that. That's your chamomilla.
Okay, cool.
And you can actually also notice in those ones, you can notice the changes in the bowel movements, you know, more of a green, sometimes like chopped spinach. That's sort of an indication that you're looking at, yeah, more teething type symptoms.
Okay. I used to use a lot of ferrum fos in the beginning of fevers as well. I'm not sure if you use that one much.
I don't, but I actually have, homeopathic friends in the UK, and that's more one that they lean towards. Yeah.
Well, it was the British homeopaths that taught me that. And I love aconite. I think aconite is a good one just to mention, you know, especially like when the kid's been at the beach and they've been exposed to that cold, drafty wind, and then they all of a sudden come home, they start getting the cough, and you know, that's where croup can develop from a TCM perspective. You can get the aconite in there, you can prevent that from happening. So good.
Do you know what? That's so interesting because, you know, it always seems funny with, you know, with the homeopathics, and it's like, oh, after being in cold conditions and XYZ, these things can develop. But that's probably completely up your alley with TCM, because with the warmth and the cold of the body, and I guess the changes to vital force from that would trigger those other conditions.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yes. I'd use in kids the homeopathics for that to prevent that, rather than going for the TCM medicines, because they just work so quickly and they're easy to give for kids.
Yeah, right, because we actually, there's a homeopathic remedy, I can't even think what the state is at the moment, but it's after the feet, or, you know, if you put your feet in cold water, say you, like, walk down to the water's edge and you put your feet in cold water, and then if you develop this sickness, you know, sort of straight after that, there's, like, a specific remedy, you know what I mean, and it's from the feet going in the cold water. And, you know, in TCM where it's sort of, like, even infertility, we're saying, like, keep your feet warm.
Yeah.
Keep all that force pumping all around. And it's funny how there's so much correlation between all these modalities.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have on those energetic systems of the body.
Yeah, it's really great when we can interlink them all too. I guess that's kind of, as the naturopathic philosophy is taking bits of all the medicines around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so colic.
Yes, colic, a very pesky one for parents if that's their baby. So we use two key remedies in this kit. We're looking at colocynthus. That's probably the most common one that people are using. So in this, what you're looking out for is intense cramping pains. And it can cause like a doubling over. So with a newborn bubba, you might see that they're drawing their knees up. They might be writhing around and twisting, and it will seem sort of like a sharp cutting pain. And in that state, you know, they're going to be irritable, they're going to be cranky, they're going to be crying. And they can be better from warmth, firm pressure, and bending double and passing wind or burping. So you'll find with some parents, you know, you push the knees up on the belly, sort of do like little bicycle sort of movements. They might pass gas and feel a bit better, but they'll often be better for pressure. So sometimes maybe even wanting to lie on their belly to have that pressure on the belly. So that's your colocynthus. And then the other one from the kit that we would prescribe more, your nux vomica, and that's more, you know, you're arching backwards as opposed to doubling over. If you find they're really arching backwards and they've got real bloating or pressure felt in the abdomen, they might have intense constipation just irritable, and they can feel worse from overeating. And that goes to adults as well, actually. That's not very much an adult remedy as well. But in this case, in the kit, yeah, they're the two that we would lean towards for those.
Yeah.
And, so that's for the kids with colic. And then, yeah, the remedies just have so many other uses in terms of even your period pain, or some women are experiencing, you know, quite intense ovulation pain even. And when it's that, you know, doubled over, better for pressure, better for warmth, and that, you know, typical sort of period pains, you can be looking at colocynthus just as an acute to sort of get you through the day. But obviously you'd sort of want to be realigning your body so that you're not getting period pain every month, ideally. But, yeah, just in an acute, the remedies can be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually use Nux a lot in infant constipation. especially when there might be potential jaundice. So maybe we can move on. I'd love to talk about infant constipation, the remedies you'd use. So in clinic, I use these little Japanese tools. They're different types of metals that we kind of go along the channels, and it unblocks the qi and the stagnation, which can be really great for infant constipation. But alongside that, I'll always use a homeopathic remedy if I can try and get the details. It can be very hard though, because obviously there might not be any symptoms of the baby. One thing though is common with the constipation is the jaundice. So do you want to maybe just run us through a couple of remedies for infant constipation?
For sure. So yeah, your Nux is going to be a big one. I also find, yeah, like, and you're right, you've got to really take the whole case with this and try and figure out what's the root cause of the constipation. Is it a matter of, you know, when we're not breastfeeding and maybe the formula is like maybe a little bit reactive? Was there like a strong use of antibiotics, which has caused, you know what I mean, the gut issue? So that's going to influence as a homeopath what you're going to prescribe for it. But yeah, so some homeopathics, bryonia, you can have like a real dryness sensation in the rectum, and yeah, large dry stools, hard to push out, yeah, and painful. Then you may also be leaning towards like your calc carb, a pretty big one for kids. Calc carb is a homeopathic remedy that is it's very much got an affinity for children, toddlers, all those growing milestones. So you might be looking at your calc carb. Sulfur, lycopodium. Lycopodium, you know, you're going to see a lot of indigestion, gas, bloating, and preferring like warm things. If kids are craving, you know, certain foods, that's also going to be an indicator what sort of remedies you're like looking towards. And yeah, the way, if they're wanting to go and do a poo but they can't, that's something, you know, you might be looking at like your Nux Vomica.
I love lycopodium. One of my favorites.
And some of these ones are polycrests, and you know, it's like lycopodium can be used for so many things, and adults, you know, with that real gut issues.
Massive. Yeah. No, that's so good to hear, because I think it's something that a lot of mothers get really stuck with when their little babies are constipated. There's not much medically they can do. So that's really handy to know. What about like...
I had a client...
Oh, go on.
Sorry. I was going to say, I had a client and she was needing to take 20 laxatives a day in order to be able to go to the toilet, you know, even every second day. So naturally she was needing to go just once a week, and that was sort of difficult. And it was massive, massive amounts of antibiotic use throughout her history. So the gut was just completely sort of really struggling. And it was the homeopathics that allowed her to get off the laxatives altogether.
Oh, that's so good.
Because, even at 20 doses a day, just outrageous, the body still could not get that peristalsis going. So it was just,
it's so good. So much simpler than seeing a naturopath, because we would do microbiome tests saying you'd be on 20 supplements, not 20, but, you know, you'd be on so many supplements. And, I love it. I love the simplicity with the remedies. I'd love to just hear a couple of remedies for, like, you know, vomiting or, you know, gastro, the onset of gastro with little ones.
Sure thing. So, gastro is something that I think we all get at some point with the kids. So three key ones that we'd be looking at would be, so Arsenicum album, I'd say, is probably the most used one. So vomiting, diarrhea, and often with burning pains. So, it's, you know, sometimes you vomit and it's just really acrid, it just really burns. The mental state is more like a restlessness and exhausted and sometimes anxious, often keen for small sips of warm drinks. That's just a keynote with your arsenicum. Cold drinks with an arsenicum can sometimes be vomited straight back up. So, you know, when you have sort of that gastro bug and you're really thirsty and maybe you drink like a little bit of cold water, as soon as it reaches your stomach, you're throwing it back up again. You're looking towards your arsenicum album type picture. They'll often feel chilly with a desire for warmth. So, you know, you might just be wrapping yourself in the doona and wanting to really heat yourself up. And so food poisoning, you're just going to go straight towards your arsenicum album, that vomiting, diarrhea. And, yeah, that's that picture. Then your nux vomica in this sort of will often have, like, the cramps and painful vomiting or ineffectual vomiting, so where you're just really retching and you're not really getting it up. Yeah, cramping pains 2 to 3 hours after eating, worse from overindulging sometimes. That's more with your adults, you know, and with too much alcohol, etc. When you're sick then, you got that more, that then. And with the nux vomica, you can have, like, the real heartburn, real heavy, bloated feeling. Yeah, so that's that. And then another one with the nausea and vomiting, while we're talking about it, a lot of parents do need a remedy for the motion sickness, like car sickness, seasickness, or from watching moving objects. You're looking towards your cochlear picture. We've got that one in the kit. Useful for vertigo, pregnancy, or migraines. So this is like a nausea that's more created from sexual causes. So, you know, sort of like the body, whether it's, say, like morning sickness, as opposed to a food poisoning sort of like external thing. Your cochlear is more sort of caused by maybe your vertigo or something else that's going on in your body. That's where you're looking at that. And that's the thought of food can even make people nauseous in this state. So, you know, your morning sick mamas who just the thought of food is just like, ugh, I'm going to be sick. That's more cochlear than your arsenicum album or your nugs. But, yeah, they're the three key ones in our care.
Yeah, my best friend, who's a naturopath as well, she gets sick anytime she goes in a car around some windy roads. And they went hiking on the weekend and her and her daughter both get car sick, motion sickness, and they took cochlear and they were fine for, like, the first time ever. So she was like, oh, why haven't I been using this?
Yeah, so good.
And I had a patient when I first practiced in Bangkok. She was super sick. I'm pretty sure she had giardia, diatomaea. She had all these parasites and bugs going on. She was diarrhea-ing so much. She lost so much weight. She was super sick. None of the doctors or hospitals could help her. She was not getting better. She was about to fly back to New York for treatment, but she was worried about flying because she was so unwell. And Penny, the homeopath, had just arrived as a visiting practitioner and arsenicum saved her. So it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So cool.
And I think this one's huge because they've got, is it dysentery? Like just sort of the, you know, people literally dying.
Yeah, totally.
The amount of diarrhea and fluid loss. It can be so dangerous, you know, in third world countries, and where homeopathics is so cost effective, easy to dose these kids who are sick. That's why, you know, in India, they're very lucky that homeopathics is a lot more readily available for them. But, yeah, definitely can save them.
Yeah, and it's everywhere in India. It's great. And they actually do become doctors to become homeopaths over there. So as I was telling you, some of the connections and friends I've made in the homeopathic world, they're medical doctors, then they go on to train in homeopathy, which is great.
Yeah, so good. So good to have both. Do you know what I mean? To know both and know. Yeah, I think homeopathics could probably be used to treat, like, everything, and that fails, move on to the harder hitting, you know.
Yes, that's it. Okay, can we maybe finish up with ear infections? Because I feel like this is something that is so powerful with homeopathics, and a lot of parents, obviously, they're so concerned, oh, there's an infection, I'm going to give them the antibiotics that the doctors just told me to give because my child is in so much pain. Let's cover this.
Absolutely. And, so I've got three boys and I have only just, so my oldest is five, but we have only just had our first ever, ear infections come into the family with my middle boy recently. Even for myself, I was like, oh, you know, I'm so glad I've got something, because I was thinking, you know, parents who don't have this option really would definitely be looking down the barrel of giving antibiotics, because, yeah, you don't want it to get too out of control and, you know, rupture and all that sort of stuff. But so with ear infections, the three that I would lean towards using belladonna again is sudden onset, violent pain, and often it's throbbing. Can have a tendency towards being the right-sided ear affected, but, I mean, definitely can be both. And it may extend to the throat. The kids can scream from the pain. They can have a hot head, cold limbs, can get fever and delirium, and you can find that they're thirstless and their pupils are dilated. That's just your typical belladonna state. But really in homeopathics, if they're saying to you, I've got, you know, an ear infection and it's sort of like pounding, maybe the blood's rushing, you have a little look in their ear, maybe you can see a bit of redness or swelling in the ear canal, you're going to lean towards your belladonna. When the ear infections are related to your teething, you know, that real throbbing earache, the kids might be pulling on the ear and it's with in conjunction with the teething, again, you're going to go back to your chamomilla. So stabbing, tearing, pain, the kids are angry, they're irritable, they're restless, really sensitive to pain in general. And with those ones, it can, you can find that it's worse from like 9 p.m. to midnight with that. And those kids, you know, will be better from like being carried and like walked around. So that's your leaning towards your chamomilla type ear infection. And then when the infection has sort of gotten to the point more of you're seeing exudate come out, or like a discharge come out, you're looking in the ear and you can sort of see it for yourself, leaning more towards your pulsatilla or maybe even your Hepsulf. But say for your pulsatilla, the ear might be red and swollen, might have a thick yellow or green discharge, pain from congestion during a cold, as if the pressure is pushing the drum out. And these kids might be like really wanting cuddles, consolation, and often they like fresh air. They can sort of be better. You know, you might be out taking them for a walk and they're like fine while they're out there in the fresh air. You take them home, they're like just sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, it just seems to kick up a notch and, yeah, they need a lot more attention. But, yeah, those sorts of remedies for the ear infections. And I know with my son, so his was from swimming and then getting, you know, the water in and getting that swimmer's ear. And he even had, you know, the little lymph node under the ear was like a little bit swollen, a little nodule there. And at first he sort of just said to me like, oh, mum, like my ear's sore. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But the week before we'd been swimming and he was putting his head under a spa water, which, you know, as I said, oh, it's going to be gross, you know, you're going to get an ear infection. But he actually did get one. And so, you know, I left it for a little bit because it didn't seem to be bothering him too much. But, you know, 5 days on and it hadn't resolved itself. And I was sort of like, oh, okay, yeah. And it was getting a bit more painful. I looked in the ear and it was all I could see was sort of red. And he's only 3 years old, so he couldn't really explain to me, you know, all the sensations of it. It's just, it hurts. Gave him the belladonna. Then not long after that, within 24 hours, then I'm seeing the discharge come out. So then I switched my remedies. I moved on to Hepasulf then. And within a day after that, clear, didn't mention it to me again. So yeah, amazing. And that seems to be a bit of a progression with the homeopathics. You can sort of start with one remedy. As the symptom picture changes, then we're going to change the remedy. So definitely never be afraid to switch remedies when the symptom picture changes. Really, you're safe to do that.
Yeah, such good information, because I feel like some people might go to the health food shop and buy one remedy, for example, and they're giving the remedy, you know, all day long for 2 days and they're like, it's not working. And by that time, the symptoms have changed already and it's a new remedy. So,
absolutely. And even during, you know, the flu that's been going around this year, a lot of people are messaging me, you know, which remedies are best for, you know, this flu specifically. And it really matters how your body responds to the flu. If you're someone and you know, say, with it, some people are getting a really sore throat. Some people are getting like real congestion. Some people are feeling it in the lungs. Some people are getting those achy, like prickly, fluey feelings. And so they're very in homeopathics, and that's the thing. And that's why having a kit is so awesome, is because you really need a number of remedies that it could be each time.
Yeah, it's the same in Chinese medicine too. Like if, you know, just because you got the common cold, there's no one, you know, herbal remedy or acupuncture treatment that fixes all. We definitely go into the individual case based off those symptoms and then we can give a diagnosis. So you might have 20 different diagnoses for the common cold that's going around at the moment or the flu. But yeah, everyone, it's their constitution and how they present with those symptoms that is really important.
Exactly, because we're looking at you as an individual and how is your vital force responding. And so that's the massive difference between like these modalities where it's like all individualized versus you just go and get this one plain cold and flu tablet that's just going to sort of like knock your body down versus actually stimulate, your body to heal itself.
Totally. And I want to reinforce kind of what you were saying previously around rest and just, you know, allowing the process to move through the body, because of course it's great. And I encourage parents all the time to use, you know, remedies and support your immune system with supplements if you need to do things, obviously, to enhance the healing of the body. But that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to allow the body to heal itself. We're not trying to suppress or move something through quicker than it should be, because, you know, taking time out to rest is so healing. And if you rush that healing process, then you might just get sick again. It's the same, like people know, obviously, if you take antibiotics and it wipes out all your good flora, then you're potentially lowering your immune system. You're going to get sick again. So it's the same thing, that just because you have a kit or you have your supplements or whatever you have, it's so important alongside that to really nourish the body, allow true healing to take place with rest and good hydration and just love for our children.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so much realizing that to get sick is a completely healthy, appropriate response of the body. That is a sign of a strong immune system, that your body can even mount an immune response. And when you're getting the same recurring issues, that's maybe pointing towards, you know, you might really need fine tuning and the body might be out of alignment. Say if your child's getting croup cough 10 times a year and the doctor's prescribing steroids over and over and over, what you're going to need now is deep classical realignment. But in terms of your everyday acutes, a fever, all of that, so healthy. So you can relax through it, support yourself, support your kids, and just, feel confident and empowered that, your body is strong.
Yes, because even mothers like yourself and myself who are trained, I've been doing this 13 years now, my kids get sick. It happens. Our kids all get sick. And like you're saying, it's normal and it's healthy. So for people to just have that, I think, in the back of their mind is really important, because there can be a lot of hysteria around children getting sick. And I understand how precious your child is. And in that moment, it feels like your world is falling apart when you've got this limp child with a fever and there's nothing you can do. Really, everything else stops. Yeah. So you want to do the best you can do. But obviously offering things like the homeopathic remedies are amazing, but just, being there to support your child is so, so important too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Mel, can you tell our listeners where they can find you? What is your website? What is your Instagram? Where are you sharing all the good things on your homeopathic medicine?
Sure. So on Instagram is probably where I spend the most time. And my handle for that is @homeopath. My website is www.melissakupsch.com. And then in terms of the kits, this past year is when I started them, and it has actually gone wild. We have been sending them to the Middle East. People are shipping them to California. We want people in Europe who want them. And then in Australia, of course. So, they are available. We have a website link probably coming in 2 weeks. So people can buy that. But with homeopathics, it is a requirement of the TGA that we do a consult for that to sell the kits. So the way that I've done that to try and keep the cost low is that I'm actually doing monthly training free for people to learn and build their confidence with using homeopathic medicine. So we're going to do that, as a big group consult. It's interactive. You can ask your questions and I'll really step you through, what the remedies are, how to use them, the different ailments that they can be used for, just so that, anyone who's new to homeopathy, you just feel that confidence in what you're doing and, to have someone to be able to ask. And because it's an ongoing, every month type thing, you can join in for as many as you want until you feel confident with it.
Okay, great. That's such good information. And I think that training and support is so important. So I feel like that's an amazing offering that you have going for parents. Everyone jump on that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. I just want to say thanks again for taking time out this morning. I know you've probably got a patient to get to very soon, so we will love you and leave you. And just loved having this conversation. It's going to be so helpful for so many parents.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome. No, thank you for having me on.
Hey guys, I just wanted to announce that I have 2 children's health offerings now available. The first one is my Shoni Shin tools. So these are traditional Japanese acupuncture tools for children. So there's no needles and basically you're just stroking along the meridians to support your children's health and immunity. These are so easy to use that we use them as as practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine on children. And I just knew that it was something I wanted to offer parents to be able to do at home because it's so simple. So with the Shonishin tools, you get three little tools that have instructional videos that come with it on how to actually do the technique at home. The whole treatment takes only just a couple of minutes and it's simple and fast. And the second offering is my children's health course, Wild Bloom. So this course is all about raising children naturally. In this course, I cover from infant health, gut microbiome health. There's a whole module dedicated to gut health. There's a module all on fussy eaters. There's a module all on nutrition, how to support breastfeeding mothers. And there's a module all on common childhood ailments. So when your little one has a runny nose or a cough that's been lingering or fevers, you can actually go look up in that module and see how to support. I am offering my listeners a $50 discount on the course with the code BLOOM, B-L-O-O-M, and that's available at herearthmedicine.com. And don't forget, I also am available for children's health wellness consultations worldwide for naturopathic and Chinese medicine for your children. Just simply book at herearthmedicine.com.